Good morning. There's always that moment where you wonder, will technology work today? But there we go, it does. No, still hasn't, sorry. Try again. Excellent. I'm super excited about today. And yes, it's all about Olivia, definitely. But I'm just excited because I think when someone has made a decision like this, it's not one of those decisions that you keep quiet. You don't kind of go, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus. Don't tell anyone. You just want to shout it from the rooftops. And so I'm excited about that today. So the message I want to share with you today is a little bit shorter, because I don't want to take any time from the excitement that's to follow. But it's inspired really by some of the conversations that Liv and I have had this year. And I guess ultimately because of a decision she's made. So I've titled today's message, Knowledge Plus Experience. It's a bit boring, and I'm sorry. I couldn't think of anything more creative. But hopefully what I share will be more interesting than the title. Now, I really love looking at the dictionary. That sounds so wrong, doesn't it? Not for fun or a pastime. But when I want to really expand on a word or an idea, I like to check dictionaries, because I want to make sure that when I use a word, I use it the way it's meant to be used. And sometimes, you know, I don't always pronounce it right, but I want to make sure that I use it right. So I've looked up both knowledge and experience in the dictionary, and I want to share some of the descriptions that you find in the dictionary for these two words. So the first word, knowledge. Knowledge could be described as the acquaintance with facts, truths, or principles as from study or investigation. That's a pretty good description of the word knowledge. It can also be described as a familiarity or conversance as with a particular subject or branch of learning. For example, a knowledge of accounting was necessary to be an accountant, right? Also, the fact or state of knowing, the perception of fact or truth, and clear and certain mental apprehension. This is also knowledge. And the final one was acquaintance or familiarity gained by sight, report, or experience. Interesting. Let's have a look at what experience means in the dictionary. Experience can be described as a particular instance of personally encountering or undergoing something. You know, my encounter with the bear in the woods was a frightening experience, as it would be and should be. Or we could describe experience as the process or fact of personally observing, encountering, or undergoing something. Or observing, encountering, or occurring, undergoing of things generally as they occur in the course of time. We gain experience. And finally, the description for experience in the dictionary was knowledge or practical wisdom gained from what one has observed, encountered, or undergone. So there seems to be a little bit of a connection between knowledge and experience. I'd like to kind of give you some examples now of what might happen when knowledge and experience don't necessarily meet in the middle. I could quite easily get on the internet, find some instructions on how to change the oil in my car, and go outside, and do I jack it up? I'm not even sure. I would have to read the instructions. But I would lift the bonnet and hopefully change the oil in my car without blowing it up. Probably reading a fact sheet that I found on the internet may not be the best way for me to learn how to change the oil in my car. But there is other ways, I suppose, of gaining knowledge, like looking at Pinterest. I could look at Pinterest and see this amazing cake and then try and make it just from the picture. That's a way of gaining knowledge, right? I like the unicorn. Actually, I said to my family when I found this photo, the one on the right here with the red kind of mohawk, I said, that looks like Dustin Martin, doesn't it? Maybe Richmond is still too close on my mind, but doesn't it? What about the rabbit? Now, isn't that amazing? If you have time, honestly, if you Google Pinterest nailed it, you will have a good time. This is my personal favourite. All right, I have a confession in this moment. Yeah. So the one that looks like a spaceship, because it's an ice cream cake and it melted, okay, is mine. I want to say it was years ago, okay, I have grown from this experience. But I wanted to make an ice cream hedgehog cake and it melted. But honestly, the pink one with the teeth, after these photos, I dreamt of pink spiders with lolly teeth, like it's just stuck in my head. Anyway, you can't just see something on the internet and replicate it. Knowledge doesn't really come that way. But what about if I read a book? I mean, all the mums out there, how many of you read this book? Didn't this make you the perfect parent? Didn't you read this book and know exactly what your child was going to do at 2 months, at 6 months, at 9 months? And when they didn't do it, didn't you panic? Because, like, but the book said they should be standing at this point. They should have smiled by now. Some knowledge can be gained from this book, but it doesn't really give you the full picture. You don't quite understand, really, the experience of raising children just from reading a book. What about this? How many of you can read that? If you can't read that, can you learn anything from it? It's kind of just like dots and dashes on a page, right? I mean, there's some knowledge to be gained on this page, but Shawnee, would you help me? But what happens when someone who can actually read this can also play this? All of a sudden, how many of you experience the music? How many of you experience the notes on the page? Before it was just some dots and dashes, some lines. For those of you who can read music, you might have gone, I know the notes, and if I sit and study, yep, what is it, F-A-C-E, and every good boy deserves fruit. I could have worked out the notes eventually. There would have been some knowledge. But when Shawnee plays it, we all get to experience the music. And it's quite remarkable, isn't it? There are plenty of people who read the Bible and don't know Jesus. Do you know that? Do you think that's true? And I'm not just talking about those scholars who work in universities, whose job it is to dissect the Bible and cut it into little bits and make a story here and a story there. I'm talking about many people who read the Bible as Christians who have never experienced Jesus. That's what happens sometimes when we can have a lot of knowledge but no experience. This is why it's knowledge plus experience. In John chapter 5, Jesus is talking to some of the priests and the Pharisees and the Jews, and he's a bit frustrated, and he says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life, but these are the very scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me and have life. What's really interesting here is that the word for scriptures is like the written word. It literally just means something that is written. So these Pharisees and these priests, they have studied and studied. I mean, they have learnt the Torah off by heart. They learn it. They memorize it. They know it back to front. You say something, they will tell you exactly where it is. But they've missed Jesus. He's right there in front of them, offering them an experience, a real life experience. But they're so stuck in their knowledge that they've missed it. When we come to God's word, it's not like that sheet of music, which is just dots and lines on a page that we can't necessarily decipher or understand. When we come to God's word, something happens. I love this next verse in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, the word of God is what? Alive. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Does that sound just like knowledge? When you read scripture, when you gain knowledge, it's not just up here. It's not just this head that gets filled with information. But the word challenges us. It says that it penetrates. It's sharper than a sword, which means that there are things that we read in scripture which make us go, oh, that makes me feel uncomfortable. And there are some things we read and we go, I don't get that at all. Why would they do that? I have questions in my Bible. I read things and I go, what does that mean? And I write it. And I pray that God will reveal more to me, because when I read the scripture, I am expecting change. I am expecting something to happen, because it's not just words on a page. In Isaiah 55, we read, so shall be my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. That's how God's word works. It's not just words on a page. They're not just static. It's not just ink. But when those words go out, things happen. Things change. Things are accomplished. The last passage I want to share with you this morning is from the Gospel of John. And this is just one of my most favourite passages of Scripture. In fact, when we went and purchased the DVD of the Gospel of John and we started it and these words were read aloud, I started bawling my eyes out. What a baby. But the power of these words as I listened to them, I just couldn't help it. Because when I read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isn't that powerful? In verse 9, John writes, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Although they searched the scriptures diligently, although they memorized them, although they had read everything, they did not recognize him. And his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is not just words on a page. He's the Word from the beginning, but he's also flesh. He was real. And people met him, encountered him, had experiences with him. He healed, he forgave, and ultimately died for each and every one of us. That's not just knowledge. That's an experience. Olivia grew up coming to church, attending Sabbath school, hearing the stories, gaining knowledge, gaining information. And in a moment, she's going to share her testimony and she's going to tell you about what happened when she went to Camporee this year. She had an experience. And when she came back, she wanted to know more, and so she studied the Word. She wanted to understand more. She combined knowledge and experience and discovered a real Jesus. Because when we actually combine knowledge, when we do the equation, knowledge plus experience, it produces a response. And Olivia's response is a baptism to give her life to Jesus. Because when knowledge and experience come together, we can't actually stay the same. Something changes. Knowledge requires an element of experience, and experience requires an element of knowledge. Neither actually work fully in isolation. Because the Word of God is alive and active, and it's meant to challenge us to change. It is meant to affect our hearts, and it is meant to lead us forward into a response.